You guys have ever had one of those days? One of those days. Let me see your hands. You know what I'm talking about. All right. One of those days. This morning, we had to back our cars out of the driveway and switch cars three times. We switched cars three times. I had some stuff I needed to bring to church this morning, and we got my car was blocking Sarah's, so we backed my truck out of the drive and backed Sarah's car out of the drive, put my truck back in the drive, got into Sarah's car and started to pull away, and I went, oh, baby, we got to go back. So we turned around and went back. I have a dry erase board. We had a meeting this weekend, and we had used it in dry erase boards in the back of the truck, and I needed to bring it back this morning. So we pulled my truck back out of the drive, pulled her car back in the drive, and then got in the truck, and then we were able to pull off. And I was like, man, this is crazy. It's already one of those days. And I got to church today, and some of my presentation wasn't working right, so I was like, oh no, it's one of those days. And then I went to print off a few things on the printer, and my computer wouldn't connect to the printer, and I was like, oh no, it's one of those days. And it was getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And then I was drinking a bunch of coffee, and we started worship, and I was like, oh no, I need to use the restroom. It's one of those days. And it just kept on coming and coming and coming, and I thought, man, if I lose my voice before I walk up here, it's really going to get bad. And before I came up here, I realized I had lost my coin that I was going to bring as the example. So luckily, Sarah had a quarter to replace the quarter that I was going to bring up here as part of my object lesson. And those of you who are social media junkies, maybe you saw on Facebook, I shared an image just like this and asked you to bring a coin with you to church today. Some of you may be just like me, and you left your coin at home, or you forgot about it, or you lost it. But if you do have it, I wanted to ask you to go ahead and get that coin out, because we'll be talking about lost coins today. And thinking about that, so I have this quarter. This is going to re-represent my lost coin, and this will become my lost coin. So now this is your lost coin, because now it's my coin, right? Now, when Sarah and I first started dating, we met at Winterfest. And so, guys, you guys are fixing to leave for Winterfest Friday. You may meet your future spouse this weekend. Parents, start praying for that. Pray that they don't, or pray that they do. Just pray over that. But I met Sarah at Winterfest, and it's a great story, and it's pretty humorous. But that's for another day. And after I met her, I knew that I would need to come see her. And I'm from Nashville, and she grew up here in Columbus. Nashville's about 4 hours away, 4.5 hours away, depending on how you drive it. For me, it was, I think, 7 hours from Nashville to Columbus, because the way that I was told to drive it was through Birmingham, right? And so many of you are like, well, what's the problem with that? You don't know the geography of things. I went past Columbus to come back to Columbus because Sarah said, this is how you get here. She was excited to see me. I was excited to see her. Needless to say, I made it, right? And we're together, and it's been a blessing from the Lord. But it was a couple of weeks, maybe even a year, before I found out how far out of the way that I had driven to come and see her. How many of you have ever been given bad directions? Like, you've been given bad directions. How many of you guys give bad directions? I mean, I don't generally give good directions because I have trouble with names. Sarah taught me a trick to remember names. I'm going to share that with you guys, and maybe that will help. It's called Monster Voice. So when you meet somebody, don't do it in front of them because you may never get to talk to them again. But after you meet somebody, if you'll go away and you'll use Monster Voice to say their name, you'll remember their name. So let's say I met David, and we talked for a little while, and, I did that trick where I used their name three times during the conversation. After you leave them, just go, David, like that. Just do that. If you'll do that, you'll remember names. I need to start doing that with street names because I'm an object person, right? Turn left at the dead tree, drive down three blocks, you'll see a rangy dog that will bark at you. Turn right at the rangy dog, right? Turn right at the rangy dog, and then you're going to smell something that smells dead, and you've made it, right? I think of landmarks. I think of just items, and that's how I get from point A to point B. You know, I turn left at the old house. I don't know street names most of the time. I know I live on Old Swan Lane. I know this church is on 7th Street. I think Pearlie and Ginger live on Mount Vernon Road. And that's about all I got, right? That's about all I've got. So I know that I give bad directions. And I know that I've received bad directions. And you guys know from hearing me talk that I get lost. I get lost. I get lost a lot, and a lot of times I don't mind it because I feel like it's exploring, right? I reframe it. It's not really lost, it's just exploring. And that's fun, you know, that's all well and good. But today what we're going to talk about, if you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, is another kind of lost, a different kind of lost that I think God has a lot to say about. And so to kind of get you in the mindset, I want to invite you through some times in which you've been lost, not of your own accord, right? I think every one of us, or many of us, have been on a 30-minute phone call in which they lost the connection, right? You've got a problem. You're trying to take care of it. They put you on hold after hold after hold after hold. You've heard that song 20 times. You've put it on speakerphone and run laps around the house. You've come back, you sit down, and somebody goes, hello, and it, and you're like, I will drive up there and physically kill somebody. I mean, you know, you've gotten that feeling where the connection has just been lost. Or maybe you've gone to a restaurant where they've lost your order, right? You waited until the waiter or waitress came. They took your order. You were worried because they didn't use that notepad. They're never going to get this all down, you know, because, you know, I've got special needs. I'm gluten-free, right? I'm this. They're going to put cheese on that. I know they're going to put cheese on it, or for me, mayonnaise, right? They're going to put mayonnaise on it. It's going to be bad. And then 30 minutes later, there's still no food, and the waiter or waitress, they either come back with this. I blew it, guys. I forgot to put it in your order. I'm going to make this right. Or they come back with, hey, the cook's just, they're just slow today, right? We're just really slammed. You know, it's either an excuse or an admittance. And we've experienced that. Many of us have experienced our voices being lost because of our age, right? You were either too young or too old or too something to be heard, right? We're told that our opinion and our voice matters. But then we get in the group of people that we want to be in, and then we find out that our voice is just lost, and it's just unheard. And in those times, we feel unimportant, we feel invisible. And it's not a good feeling. And I think if we're honest, many of us feel like leaving. We feel like going away. We feel like giving up. We feel like, man, I'm just not going to make that call again. I'm not going to come to this restaurant again. I don't fit in this crowd or this circle, and I'm going to step out of it. Not because we were given bad directions, but because we weren't treated like we were valued. We weren't treated like we were valued. And I think that this is where Jesus is coming from when he shares this parable from Luke chapter 15. It's really short. It's verses 8 and 10. And we're going to look at it just for a second. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp? Sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels, of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents. Over one sinner who repents. And I think for us to really grasp the weight of this parable, I think for us to grasp the importance of this parable, we have to back up to verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 15. And they read this way. "Now the tax collectors and all the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But," remember I've told you before that "but" makes things not exist, right? "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" And guys, I think that this is a serious parable for every single one of us who are in the auditorium today, because in this parable, Jesus is directly addressing his church. He's directly addressing the followers of God. He's directly addressing the people in his kingdom and the way that they are treating the people in his kingdom. In this parable, it's as if Jesus is saying, it's because of us that coins get lost. It's because of us that coins get lost. Because I think that every one of us could agree that when we lose important things, it's not because those important things grow legs and wander off. It's because we took important things and we did not treat them as the important things that they are. Can we agree? We lose things because we mistreat things. We lose things because we mistreat things. If you lose your wallet, it's because you put it in a really loose pocket. It's because you put it somewhere and didn't think about where you put it. If you lose your wallet, it's because you did not treat your wallet as if it were something that should never be lost. Can we agree? I think we can agree. And some of us, we feel like our remotes are lost, are important, right? For me, the go-to place when I lose my remote, it's my couch. It's going to be in a couch cushion. It's going to be in between it. Or worse, it's going to be in the lining, right? It's going to be in the lining of the couch. And you got to really get your arm down there and dig through. And as we think about the fact that every one of us has felt abandoned at some point in our lives, we think about Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And we think about the fact that when lost things are found, heaven rejoices. When lost things are found, heaven rejoices. And the parable of the lost coin is a parable about something that didn't lose itself. It's a parable about something that was not treated as important as if it had value, and so it was lost. It's not like the parable of the lost sheep, where the sheep wanders off. It's the parable of the lost coin, where the necklace wasn't secure. She didn't check the bindings on her necklace. Ladies, how many of you have lost an earring before? You've lost an earring. If you've lost an earring before, most of you know that you've lost it way before you recognize you've lost it, right? Your husband or your date or your girlfriend goes, "Hey, what's up with, is this a new style? What's going on? You know, why are you only wearing one earring?" And then you're like, "Oh." You know, and then you start wondering where the earring has gone. For many of us, church is like that. There are people of value who worship beside you in our church. And we don't know that we've lost them until they're long gone. We don't know that they're gone until they're long gone. And sometimes you find that earring, and sometimes you don't. And this is the tragedy that Jesus is talking about, because that woman is the church. And that light is the Word of God that is a lamp unto her feet. And that coin is a person of value in God's kingdom who hasn't been treated according to the value that they have. And so we need to come to terms with the fact that there are 430 members on our church roster. And there are somewhere between 250 and 300 people here today. And not every one of those are not here because they've been mistreated. Some of them have totally legitimate reasons that they're not here today. And some of them are not here because they've been mistreated. And so what I want to call us to do is take role in our minds. When I was in youth ministry, one of the most effective ways that we took role, you know, we counted people off, right? We counted the numbers. But one of the more effective ways to really know who was missing beyond a number was to ask kids in the van, hey, who's not here that was sitting by you when we left this morning? Look to your left and your right and tell me who's not sitting beside you today. So as we think about lost coins today, I want to invite you to look to your left and look to your right and think about who's not sitting beside you today. And start realizing who may be lost. Because in order to reach out to those who have become invisible to us, we must at first recognize that they are invisible to us. We must identify the lost. And then we must start turning over things. That's when we start tearing up the house, right? When you've lost something really important, you tear up the house and you start looking. You start asking questions. For me, I flip over the couch, I hear that telltale thud in the couch, and I'm like, there it is. But sometimes I flip over the couch and I don't hear that telltale thud. I found 75 cents, two pencils, an ink pen, a baseball card, but not my remote. Right? And that's when I start cleaning house. I start systematically going room by room and addressing the clutter that exists in my house. I start retracing my steps. Isn't it the most infuriating question? Really? I lost my wallet. Well, where were you when you lost it? I will slap you silly. Right? I'd have my wallet if I knew that. It's actually one of the most helpful questions, even as it is one of the most infuriating questions, right? It's a retrace your steps question. When you look left and you look right and you notice that somebody who usually sits with you is not there, you start thinking about, all right, when was the last time we were together? What were the conversations that we had? Where did we go? When's the last time I gave them a call? And we retrace our steps. And sometimes retracing your steps is just all you need to go into the garage and look on that little counter in the garage and go, there she is, right? There it is. We retrace our steps. We clean up our mess. We all need to do some personal inventories of the ways that we've treated brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, don't we? We all need to do some personal inventories and think about maybe where we have some responsibilities. We need to think about the conversations that we've had. We maybe need to think about some of the false teachings that we've given that have really confused followers of God. We need to think about some of the ways that we make people feel invisible. We need to think about our lives and the messes that we have not addressed in our lives. I had a conversation with a really good friend a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that she said to me that really stuck is that when you don't address your own wounds, you bleed on people who haven't been cut. Some of us are wounded people in this church, and we're not getting help. And because we're not getting help, we're hurting other people. We're hurting other people. And we're creating lost coins. And we need to reach out. So today, your coin represents someone who is lost. I want you to take your coin, put it in your hand right now, and I want you to think of somebody who is not here today. Somebody that you've had relationship with. And I want you to let that coin represent that person or that family. And I want you to begin just by praying over that coin. All right, there's nothing special about the coin. It's not holy. It's not going to you're not going to wake up and that coin's going to turn into a silver dollar. You know, there's nothing special about that coin. That coin just serves as a placeholder, as a reminder, to remind you to pray. Because one of the biggest questions I ask myself when I'm sharing from this pulpit is, how will people remember what's being said? And a lot of times it's rhyming things. You know, everything you hear is filtered through what you fear. It's some kind of bold statement. The road you on is taking you where it's going to take you and not where you want it to go. Things like that. Sometimes we have visuals up on the stage. This is something that I want you to do and hold on to. I want you to take that coin and I want it to represent somebody who is a member of this family, who you've had a relationship with, who you haven't seen. And I want you to pray over that person. And then I want you to go through those steps and I want you to reach out to that person. Because that woman, she pulls out the light. She gets into the Word of God and she runs through the house and she's sweeping the floors and she's looking under the bed and she's intentional and she's emotional and she knows that what she has lost has real value. And let's just admit today that what we have lost has real value. It has eternal value. It has angels in heaven rejoicing type of value. And we got to do something about it, don't we? We got to do something about that. There's a term when it comes to churches, and it's called the back door or the revolving door. And it's just used to describe that when a visitor comes or when somebody comes and places membership, that there's just this easy open door that they can just walk back out of and disappear like they never were here. It's called the back door. And so what I want to ask you today is, what do you think would happen in this church, this family, if we close that door? And are you willing to do your part to keep that door closed? Because people have value. And things will fade away. And if you've been one of those people who've felt lost, I hope this is encouraging for you today. Unfortunately, most of us who have felt lost are not here. And the only way they're going to hear a message of value is for you to share it with them. So if you need to come to the Lord today and give yourself to Him in the waters of baptism, or if you need to make some changes in your life and you want to make a public statement of change and ask for prayer, or if you want to celebrate God today in some way, we give you that opportunity as we stand today and we sing.